Hi, friends. Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Happiness Podcast. This is Natalie.
And this is Bailey.
This is an intro to the intro for this episode. The reason for that is because when we started this podcast last year, we were totally new to the podcasting world. So if you are starting here on season one, just be aware that the quality gets much better over time.
The content of this episode is still something that we love and we support, but if you enjoy it, we would highly recommend jumping to episode 13, which is the beginning of our season two. So thanks for bearing with our technical difficulties and recording quality in season one, and we appreciate your support regardless. Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome back to the Health, Wealth, and Happiness Podcast. This is Bailey speaking, and I hope everyone is enjoying the holiday season. Regardless of what you celebrate or how you're celebrating this year, I hope you take some time to quiet down, relax, and reconnect with yourself. I believe this episode will be airing on the winter solstice, which is really cool. Shortest day of the year, it's coming up, so from here on out, we should be getting some more sun, and it's only going to get better from here. Anyways, today's episode is a great one. We're welcoming on Miranda Haney, and we have a lot of fun in this episode, but we also get really vulnerable too. We cover everything from college and moving to a new place where you know absolutely no one to living with an eating disorder. And if you couldn't already tell from the description, Miranda is a really cool person with an incredibly humorous and optimistic outlook on life. So I truly hope you enjoy this episode and happy solstice. Any Broad City fans out there? Let me know. Happy listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Health, Wealth, and Happiness Podcast. This is Bailey.
And this is Natalie.
And today we are welcoming on Miranda Haney. Welcome to the podcast, Miranda.
Thank you, guys. It's so such a pleasure to hear your voice.
Yes. And after some technical difficulties and an awkward beginning, we are here to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
So you know what they say? They say if the sound check is good, the show's going to be bad. So.
Oh, so this is going to be good because our sound check was bad.
Oh, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. So just to, I guess, recap our introduction together, Miranda and I met because, actually, I think we did WXSU together, and I was always, like, infatuated by you. I was like, she is so cool. I really want to be her friend. And I was like this freshman nerd, and you were like walking around campus all hip and cool because you were a singer, and I was jealous because I can't sing.
Oh, hold on. Bailey can sing.
Do not announce this on the podcast, Natalie. I will not sing for anyone.
I know, but you can sing.
Okay, I'm going to skip over this. I get my microphone for Christmas. Maybe I'll play around with it. But anyway, this is about Miranda, who's actually a very good singer. And then we worked together as a barista. So there was many 5 a.m. mornings of us half asleep chugging coffee together. And that's kind of how our friendship began.
Yeah. That's now, so many layers. That's a lot of layers.
Yeah. So I many. And
yeah.
Sorry. I just get too excited with you. And we're from the same hometown, and we didn't even know it.
Yep. We met in Salisbury, Maryland, but we traced our roots back all the way across the Bay Bridge to Bel Air, Maryland.
Far away, far, far.
Goes very deep. But so our humble beginnings have now led to all of these beautiful projects. So now you kind of landed your dream job, and you're doing some really cool, fun side projects, too. So you're wearing a Rise Up hat. I'm drinking out of my Rise Up mug. Do you kind of want to talk a little bit about your coffee journey and start us off there?
Sure. I'll make this brief. Also, I apologize. I live in someone's backyard, and they just got a trampoline for their children. So if you're – this is my worst nightmare, and I'm sorry. coffee journey, yes. Okay, so I started working in coffee in 2015. I went to this place called Pemberton Coffee House, and I thought I was being slick. I thought about my outfit for 3 days, and then I casually walked in. asked if they were hiring and got the job. And then they closed 2 months later. So then I started working for Rise Up. I worked for Rise Up for, I think it was like two, three years for Rise Up. And then I just moved to Austin in 2019 in May, and I started working for Greater Goods Coffee. A lot of things happened in between there. I went to Columbia to work on a little coffee farm for a while. And then I, got to Greater Goods, was a barista, did the competition circuit, did all right. And now I am their marketing and events coordinator. And then I also run the training lab at Greater Goods. So, coffee.
When did you, it was Pemberton, is that what the coffee shop was called?
Yeah, it was like a little family, a really cute little family bakery with bomb, the cinnamon rolls. The cinnamon rolls were great. Size of your face.
And
a great view.
So that was in college?
Yeah, it was a cute little spot. Yeah, I was in college. I needed to, you know, pay my little college bills. So I got a job in coffee. And little did I know it was going to decide the fate of my... They're really yelling out there.
it's nice.
Okay. Some colors the recording. It's dark. I don't know. All right. Pemberton, really fun. I met Jose Tello, who I think Bailey knows.
I love Jose.
He's the best. And I have to credit him with the reason. He's the reason I was so interested in coffee. He's a great teacher. So now I'm here. Couldn't be here without him.
So this barista circuit that you're doing right now, like what's the, it's a competition, but what's like the final, like, is there a final step there? Like what's the end goal with that?
Yeah. So there's, so I did two different kind of competitions, barista competitions. When I say competition circuit, it's just a fancy way of saying I did the US Coffee Champs, which is like a, the World Barista Championship. This like funnels into that. It's like the Olympics of coffee. There's one for being a barista, one for brewing, one for roasting. And essentially what it is you get judged on your, well, for barista, you get judged on your sensory skills, your espresso dialing in, and then your a little bit of, you know, milk beverage stuff. And if you get far in the competition, you start to create a signature beverage. And then you get judged on things like the consistency of your tamp. It's a very eloquent dance. It's a little bit about how much you know about coffee. It's a little bit about your charisma, and it's a little bit about how well you know your score sheets so that you can do well in the competition. So it's all of those things. I had a lot of fun. This was my first year doing that. And it was crazy. I did not expect to do well. I just did a preliminary round in Austin and I got sixth, which is good. I think the top six went to qualifiers and I was number six. So I was like skin of my teeth, but it was really fun. And then I just got wrapped into it and I got all the way to nationals. I got 21st. So by all standards, I'm the 21st best barista in the United States of America right now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was your signature drink?
Oh, it was bad. I don't even want to talk about it. That was hard. That was difficult for me. That was the hardest thing. And then now I'm doing the Barista League online, which is it's less serious. Well, I don't want to say that because it is serious, but it's more fun. More fun, the Barista League online. It's a worldwide competition. I had to submit an audition tape and they chose me out of the pool. And then they sent me a package of goods and I had to do all these challenges, 9 different challenges, film myself doing them. And now it's airing every Wednesday until the middle of February. So,
cool.
Yeah, check it out.
Is it online because of COVID or is it usually online?
Yeah, it's online because of COVID.
COVID.
Yeah.
Cool.
They used to travel around to different cities around the world and hold these giant just parties, parties with a little bit of competition. It's all about community. And I mean, that's one of the things I love the most about the coffee as a career is just it's such a rich community. There's all kinds of really fun, creative people and, you know, really knowledgeable people, really career-minded people, but also just this huge group of creatives as well that are part of this crazy thing. So it's fun.
My brother actually was a barista for a few years back, not right now because of COVID. He had to like stop working in the coffee shop, but so I'm very familiar with the group and his friends would always come over for game nights. And I loved the barista community, as you said. It's just, it is full of creatives and kind-hearted people, and everyone's so different. It's pretty cool. It's rad.
While we're still talking about coffee, how are you? Okay, I feel like with my coffee journey, my like taste has evolved so much. How do you take your coffee right now? Like, what's your go-to?
Oh, geez, what a question. My favorite drink from the espresso bar is an affogato, because you know, ice cream. I can't. It's just like so simple. Ice cream and espresso. Are you kidding me? Duh.
Oh my gosh.
I got an espresso machine for free last week on a Buy Nothing page on Facebook, and I was so excited because, Miranda, we were just talking about this. And so I was, like, testing it out, and it literally, literally exploded when I tried to use it. And then – so it literally – it popped. There was, like, a little spark and an explosion, and then water just went everywhere. And I was like, this is why it was free.
Oh my God.
I don't have an espresso machine.
Damn.
Oh, no. You'll have to make some kind of art with it now.
Yeah, for sure.
I also love, I just love a filtered coffee. Just a plain filtered coffee. A good coffee, you can really like, and it's just a simple pleasure. I make coffee every morning. It's a quarantine thing that I've been doing. Before quarantine, I did not brew at home. Hardly ever. Because when you work in a coffee, you just, why would I do that? I can get free coffee as soon as I get to work, and I have to be there at 6:30. So why would I make coffee before I go? But I've been really getting into brewing at home, and that's been a lot of fun.
With coffee, and you're now working in Austin, Texas, how did you apply to this job in Austin, or how did you migrate from Rise Up to there? Was it an offer? Ooh. Did word of mouth? How did you hear about it?
Oh, this is a great question. I feel like this could maybe be the topic of this entire podcast. I'm a big supporter of doing the shit that scares you. Whatever is scary to you, do it. And I think for me, I grew up in Maryland and I went to school pretty close, and I got a pretty, you know, I like Rise Up was great. It was familiar to me and it was comfortable, but honestly, I mean, there wasn't really room for me to grow necessarily there. And I'm such a restless person. I just love to move from thing to thing. And I think one day I just got the idea that maybe I'd only been to Austin once. And I was like, well, that sounds good. And also I was I had a long-term relationship that was kind of on the decline, I guess. And it just, everything was a good time to just up and go. And it terrified me, so I thought it must be a good idea. So I just decided that once my lease was over, I was going to Austin, and I went to Austin, and I did not know anyone here before I moved. I got the job pretty – I actually interviewed for the job before I moved, but I knew I was going to move, so I, like, kind of put some feelers out there. Then I got the job, then I moved. I lived in a house – I lived in a house of five girls that worked for a few of them worked for AmeriCorps. So I was like sharing a bedroom with this girl, Stacy, who I love. So grateful that Stacy was cool. That could have been so bad, but it was great. And it was like a temporary thing. And I stayed there for a couple of months, and then I moved in with some coworkers, and now I finally live alone, which is beautiful and amazing. And I feel like I'm finally comfy, but yeah.
Before you reach,
did that answer the question?
No, it did. So you applied, I'm assuming, had an interview, and then you just moved before even getting the job necessarily.
No, I got the job and then I moved.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't move for the job.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Sorry, did you know immediately, like when you got to Austin, were you like, oh, this is right. This is it.
Oh, it's so hard to say. I feel like our brains do crazy things, right? I mean, I wanted so badly for it to work out that I think I just manifested the goodness. It just was nice, and it felt good, and it felt different enough, but familiar enough too, that I wasn't too scared. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, but I'm hesitant to say stuff like that, because I think most of it is just me projecting those vibes onto the situation. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you ever find your place though. You know, I feel like that's such a romantic idea that we want to believe in, like somewhere out there, I'm going to show up at this city and it's just going to be right. But mm-hmm. I think different places can be right for us at different times in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I feel that right now because, like, I finally found a place that I'm so happy in. But is it going to be like that forever? Like, I don't know. How can you know? It's like you can say that you know right now, but do you really? You have no idea what next year is going to hold for you or the next 5 years or anything.
Yeah. I remember being behind the bar at Rise Up with you, Bailey, and just being like, I don't know. Sometimes, and maybe you can relate to this, but sometimes I look back on memories of just memories in general, and I feel almost like I can see myself outside myself. Like I just can see myself standing behind the wall at East College, asking everybody if they could be anywhere else right now, where would they want to be? And it's just like, that doesn't even really feel like me anymore, but I know I was there. And I know I was just obsessed with what's next. When I was in college, I was just always asking everybody, like, surely this can't be it for you. What else are you going to do? But yeah, maybe it is. I mean, it's crazy. Like, for me, it was so clearly not it for me. I feel like I was so restless in Salisbury, and I was so ready to leave. But for some people, like, it's just different places for different people. And I think I struggle with that, like, always wanting more for people I love, you know? But sometimes people are comfy. I don't know. I think the minority of us are searching, not satisfied, looking around, grasping at whatever sounds fun and new.
Right. I remember having those conversations with you, and it's like there was some other people who we worked with who I felt for because they're in this like small town. And I was like, how can this be all you want? Like, how is this it for you? But for some people, it's comfortable and it feels good. And like, that's their place. And like, I couldn't quite grasp that at the time. And I think I finally have now that like, I've done my soul searching, and it's like, oh, I understand it now. Like you get to a point where like, you might want to settle down, but also if you don't want that and you do want to run away and search and try something new, that's also okay. It's going to be a different path for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just had a really good conversation this past weekend with my boyfriend, and someone, we were talking about his dad, actually. I don't think he's going to listen to this. I feel weird talking about him, but he was just saying how he is the most happy, like in the moment person he knows. And, you know, he's lived in Maryland his whole life. And yeah, it's that small town vibe where you just grow up here, you stay here, you get a job here. And for us, I'm sure we all have that same view where we look at them and we're like, how do you stay in one place? Like, how are you growing? But I was open, like, I thought, I was like, is he like really happy? But the thing is, he's the most present, probably. Like, he's the most, like, he's not thinking about what's next. He's not thinking about what he has to do next. And that works for some people. And to stay in one place and be present isn't, I mean, that's a good life. That's a stress-free, that's really good mindful practice. So I think that's like a good perspective hearing it from him, and just like, because that's not what I want for myself, but I think I can understand it now why people are that way. Because, I mean, if you can be present in what you're doing, you're not yearning for anything else. You don't yearn for that place. Like you said, it's romanticized to be in this place. I mean, I do it myself. I'm like, I know where I want to be long-term. Like, I want to be in California. But, you know, it's okay. You know, that has pivoted since I was supposed to be there this time last year, but shit happens. So I don't know. I just think it's made me be a little more mindful and like see that other side where it's like, okay, I'm a little comfortable now. I will grow, but I'm present and I'm going to enjoy every moment I have now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's definitely having that balance and understanding when you need to push yourself and when you need to reel it back in, because there's a time for everything and there's something that can be benefited from both situations.
Definitely.
That's interesting about being present, Nat. I feel like that is the ticket.
Right? Because
That's all it is.
And that's, I mean, yeah. I mean, we've all felt that where we're in the same place forever and we're like, oh, I'm just itching to leave because we're thinking of everything else. We're not thinking about what we're doing now. You're thinking, oh, I just want to get to this place because it's going to be so much better. Why is it going to be better? You know,
whatever makes you change the way you think. I don't know. You can do that in one place if you're that kind of person.
Well, exactly.
I'm so always not. I can't sit still. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And that, you know yourself. That's where it comes down to. Like, you know yourself, you know what works for you. But I think it's really nice to hear both perspectives.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting too. Someone recently said that, like, sometimes you think of these like new places, your problems are going to be gone, but you're going to take those problems with you. Like if there's like a personal problem that like you need to fix, it's not normally going to change unless you change yourself. Like that's not going to change in a new place, but obviously everything's situational, but that's just something interesting too. It's like setting doesn't change everything. Like it's not always better. The grass isn't always greener. Like you're going to still have these problems if you're not getting to like the deeper root of the issue.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And sometimes that can just make it worse when you don't mm-hmm. have a support system and you just up and go. And then you're like confront, all you have is yourself to confront those issues. Like that's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we said that in a past episode where it's like the place doesn't make you happier. It's not the place, it's like the person. Yeah.
But if, I mean, honestly, if I'm being honest, if you would have told me that when I was living in Ocean City, I would have been like, shut up. It's going to change. Are you kidding me? Like, it's so, you can't, I don't know. I'm so stubborn. Like, I get it. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I am obsessive about self-help and figuring myself out and always trying to fix something. I'm so crazy about that stuff. But if you tell me, if you give me advice, it's so hard for me to take advice. I just want to try it. I just want to try and fail and know for myself.
Yeah. You know? And
I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm. And then it's also, I mean, yeah, then there's the other side of the spectrum where it is like, you hear all the time in those self-help books, do what scares you. If it scares you, that's what you need to do. So then it's like, yeah, there's that little bit of like being mindful where you're at currently, having aspirations, and then it's, I don't know, it's scary, so you got to do it anyway. So what is the right thing to do? No one knows.
Nothing. There's no right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Just be nice. That's the only the only thing that actually counts.
Yeah.
Be nice. Enjoy life. Yeah. Do what makes you happy. I feel like, yeah, it's a weird, there is no recipe.
No.
So you just released an entire album.
Yeah.
Like music that you created and recorded and promoted.
Thanks.
What was the inspiration behind this album?
Oh my God. What the heck? I gotta hold on. Let me just shoot an arrow through my ego real fast so I can answer this question. I never expected to be asked any questions about it. I love music. I'm such a fan. I just love all music, and I've been making music since I was a kid. It just is just the thing that happens when I'm just doing nothing. Sometimes I'll just write a song. I don't know. It's just really natural, and it always has come naturally to me. And I moved to Austin with I wanted to focus on music, and I wanted to be in a place where I could find a community and feel comfortable calling myself a musician, because I never really did, and I still don't in a lot of ways. And but I found a really great group of people here through the Cactus Cafe, which is a open mic, and they are very supportive, and everything was going really well. I got a band together who I loved dearly. I still love dearly. We just don't play anymore because of COVID. So things were looking really great in March. And then, bum, 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 similar story as everyone else on the planet. But we stopped practicing, and we had studio time scheduled for April that we had to cancel. And I was really depressed. And I was just like, man, what am I doing here? Like, I moved here. You know, I feel weird because we did start this podcast about coffee. And that is a huge part of my life. It's hard to talk about because they feel so equal in my mind. You know what I mean? And I don't want to pay attention to one. And then it feels like I'm neglecting the other if I pay too much attention to one part of myself. But so anyway, I got a little bit discouraged in March about everything. And I'm such a superstitious person too. So I was like, well, it's not meant to be, you know, the music thing's not meant to be. I'll just let it go. I won't think about it anymore. It's just super selfish for me to put all my energy into this thing that doesn't matter, that, you know, I'm just trying to be famous. Like, what am I doing? All that stuff. And like, even saying this out loud probably sounds ridiculous, but this is my inner monologue. Like, this is what I'm thinking, is that, who do you think you are? Constantly. That's my, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Like, who do you think you're fooling, really? Is that like Paul Simon? It's really that's the question. And anyway, I borrowed some. So when quarantine happened, I obviously had a lot more free time, and I was like, you know what? Let me just mess around. Let me just see what I can do myself. So I got a free trial of Logic that was good for 90 days. And I borrowed some gear from my roommate. Thank you, Luis. Shout out. And I locked myself in the garage for like a week. And I played and recorded all of the songs that I had that I felt like weren't good enough to do anything with them. So I was like, let me just put all these songs I don't think are that good together and then just play with them and see if I can write other parts and just like, you know, just learn how to use the software, learn how to arrange music essentially. And of course I did that for like 2 weeks, and then I did nothing but that for those 2 weeks. I was obsessively just tweaking them and writing things. And I wrote another song in the process of recording. I was just like on fire. It was like, it lit something up in me where I was like, oh my God, this, I forgot how much I love this, of just like exploring my mind and just being true to whatever comes out and not filtering myself, but just sitting with a guitar and letting it flow. And like over time I did get attached to the pieces, and I really started to like the songs. And then I was like, well, maybe, you know, I have 10, I had at the time I had 12, and then I cut them down to the 9 that are on the record. But I was like, these are like a thing. This is not bad. This is not awful. Then I had some friends that validated me by saying, yeah, these aren't bad. And then I was like, okay, nice. They're not bad. And so
they're really good. I listen to this album all the time. Like, it makes me feel like, I always listen to it in the morning when I'm drinking my coffee, and it feels like a nice autumn morning, and it's like cozy socks, and like it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy and happy. Like, I love this album, and it's not even because I love you. Like, I just love this album.
That's so freaking crazy. I can't believe that people listen to it. I just never thought this would even happen. So I'm like, this is so weird, but I'm grateful. Thank you. And that's really cool. That's cool.
I don't think we mentioned, what is the album called?
Oh yeah, it's called Under My Nose. It's under
That's funny because Miranda's Under My Nose is my favorite song on the album.
Oh, is it? That's yeah, it's a title track.
Yeah. Title track. I enjoyed it.
My favorite is Amelia in Rollerblades.
Oh, thank you.
Second favorite.
That's so why cool. Did you, what the heck? Why did you choose the name Miss Miranda as your like artist name?
Howdy Miss Miranda feels like a persona almost. Like, who I am on the internet feels like I curate it. I try, you know, I try to kind of put myself into some kind of, I don't know. I mean, are we all doing that? I guess. But the Miss Miranda thing kind of stuck. And then I was like, well, I'll just put my music under Miss Miranda. I like that. That's cool. And that started last year because I wanted a pseudonym. Love my dad, don't love my last name. So, you know, I wanted to change it, but I didn't know what to change it to. And then I thought Miss Miranda sounded catchy. And then, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I motherfucking Googled the name Miss Miranda, and the first thing that came up was dancer. Very popular, very famous. And I have to quit music. I should probably come out of my head because there's no such thing as original thought. And I'm just, if I think I, and that's it. But then I was like, well, a lot of people have the same name. And no, I think of Joshua Tillman, because there's Josh Tillman and there's Joshua Tillman, and who cares? They're not the person. Everyone knows that. Okay, and if Miss Miranda, the burlesque dancer, has a tiff with me right now, I will definitely change my name. Just say the word. I don't care. You're much better at burlesque.
Do I hear a lawnmower?
Oh, there's a helicopter going above okay. me.
If you want the full story, because apparently I'm in the mood to tell long stories on this podcast today.
Great.
I thought of I don't even really know, but the Instagram handle came first. All right, so sometimes I think I'm going to cancel music forever, and then I decide to do something else creative because I can't not do a creative thing. And I've been doing stand-up comedy. I don't know if you know this about me. Not.
Do you have a routine that you want to practice?
Well, I have. No, I don't think so. I'm not sure. I should say I've done stand-up once, and it went well. And so I just kind of take walks and talk to myself. I think about
the creative process.
It doesn't make any sense to me. They just go. I can't. I'm gonna get upset. I can't talk about this.
What about the helicopter? I'm confused.
I can't explain it. It makes any sense, and my brain is like angry at that for a while. Now this is very insensitive. This is insensitive, but I'm gonna say it. I for a long time, for most of my life, I just did not understand how someone could get hit by a car and die. That sounds so insensitive. Obviously, that sounds really obvious, but my brain just can't. It just is like, no, you're just going to push the car away. Like, I just can't. It's so stupid.
Like in Twilight, when really like dumb. Edward
Hopper. No. You know what's funny? I have a cousin back in the day, like years ago, she would say, I just want to get hit by a car to see what it feels like. Because I guess like she can't wrap her brain around it. So, Amber?
Interesting. We might share some pieces of subconscious material.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that weird. I've actually heard similar things.
Right. There's no such thing as original thought. Thank you, Natalie. You don't have to remind me.
Well, okay. That's kind of a great segue. I kind of wanted to go with that because you said there's no such thing as original thought. And that's actually something that gives me peace of mind.
Oh, wow.
I know. Well, it's because it's like, good.
What's your astrology?
My astrology?
What's the right word? What's your sign? What's your sign?
Yeah, the stars align this way? No. Mm-hmm. No, I just think because...
My question. What's your star sign?
Oh, you actually want me to answer? It's a Cancer. Yeah.
Oh, it's a Cancer. Sweet. So sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
An emotional little baby.
I love Cancers.
I do too. And Scorpios. Wait, what is your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
You see, Taurus and Cancers don't usually go together. It is.
I don't know how that works.
I know.
I don't know how that works. I like to ask people that question and then kind of gauge where they're at with the whole situation, you know?
Oh, yeah. And then like, they go off on it.
I say it really quietly. I'm like, what's your birthday? Say it like January 5th. Then that means like I have no idea that they're I don't know. Is that a Capricorn? Shit. I should know. I have another joke. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Wait, I want to hear the question about original thought.
It wasn't a question. It was more so that I actually enjoy knowing that there's no original thought. Like, because so many people try to be so different. And it's great to be yourself. But, like, that was something I learned in school. One of my design teachers said, she was like, Google it. Like, she would tell people in the design class that, like, nothing is original. And it's just making it your own. So it's like the same thought as someone else, but it's different because it's you and there's no one else like you.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'd be curious to know. I don't know. Okay. So I'm working on this music video right now. I have an idea for a music video. And part of like the whole process of making a music video is that you have to write a treatment, right? Put everything together, this idea that's like fully formed so that you can pitch it to people who are going to help you with it. And part of the process is like, I have this idea in my so vivid, and this is often how this happens. I get an idea and it really eats at my brain and I have to do it. And so I'm really into this right now, but part of it is that I have to find images that are what I want, if that makes sense. Assuming that this has been done before, I have to go and try to find what I'm looking for and then paste the photos in like a gallery so that people can get the vibe. And I have had so much trouble with that. But I think I'm just not very good at Googling things.
Well, that's another
thing.
Do
you remember learning Google in elementary school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like with the there's all the symbols and stuff.
Yeah.
It honestly terrifies me to think that everything that I think has also probably been thought by someone else. And I think to an extent, like, there is still original things and, like, you can still make things original. But I don't know. That scares me. It makes me nervous. But I feel like I've also been so rooted for so long in, like, being different and being unique and, like, putting myself out there in a different way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fun to try to pretend that we're special. No, everyone's
special. Yeah, right? Well, we grew up being told that we were so special, and now we're being told that we're not, and it's like a rude awakening.
You Google, there's no such thing as original thought is not the first thing that comes up, even though we've been talking about it for almost 5 minutes. Listening in by now, but they want no such thing as a free lunch. And it comes up on Google. I mean, there's always strength attached.
You're always paying for it.
Not paying for it in money. You're paying for it. Hey, I heard the podcast. He was talking about getting a sugar daddy. How's that going?
I do not have a sugar daddy.
I was just curious. I've been thinking about OnlyFans. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And if you want to take pictures of your feet.
Oh my God.
Power to you. Do it. Anybody?
Yeah. So on like a more serious note, something else that you were kind of talking about, like you feeling like you're not good enough with music or just in general, like feeling, I get that so often too, like just feeling like you're a fraud and getting this like imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And like overcoming that is so difficult because it just keeps coming back.
Do people actually overcome it? I've never heard of that.
I don't know. How do you do it?
I think we're all faking
it. Can you do
it? We're all making it up. Right?
Yeah. You gotta fake it till you make it. I had a really bad bout of it like last week. Even with this podcast, I mean, I feel like Nat and I, like we both will call each other and it's like, it's one of us or the other. We're like, oh, I'm not feeling good this week. And the other person's like, it's okay. Like, we're doing it. We got this. And like, we kind of like build each other up. So it's nice to have a partner in that way. But when it's a solo endeavor, like music, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
But sometimes I feel like when I write a song, it's the universe, or if you believe in God, I would say God, like just giving me something to listen to for the next couple of days, which is nice. You know, it's like a Spotify algorithm, but it's you. Which is fun because I have so many voice memos on my phone of great finished songs. I love them. I'll probably never do anything with them, but it's nice because I get to listen to them all the time. And maybe that's selfish. And that gets into this thing, which is the way I was able to overcome that and just fucking put the music out there. Who gives a shit? Just do it. Everyone else is doing it. There's tons of mediocre recordings on Spotify. So it's fine. And it's fine because my friend Sophia once told me that her friend once told her that making music and then not release, inviting everybody over to, and then being so tells of the meal that you just don't feed anyone. And if somebody is sitting there listening to my record right now and trying to figure out all the times when I messed up or all the times when a siren played in the background or, you know, all the frequencies that sound weird in the headphones but good in the job. Off my shit. That's my job to critique myself like that. Like, I know it could be better, but that's like the beauty in it, is ripping the band-aid there and saying, this is done. Feed your friends. And also, I've started to think of music more as, my golden rule in life is give more than you take. That's what I want to do while I'm on this planet. I want to give more than I take. And I think releasing music is a give, period. I don't know. That's it. Like, it's now it's there and whoever needs it can get it if they want it. And if they don't, then it's not hurting anybody just by being on the internet. You know, maybe me, but.
Yeah. Does it feel good to see the finished product?
That you're like slaving over this meal and you're just right. Everyone's so fucking hungry. And you're like, no, I just want to put this piece of sauce and I want to cut this strawberry just so it looks like a flower. It's like, no, they just are hungry. They're just hungry. Just feed your friends. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to think about, you know? Yeah, it does. I'm so hard on myself. I'm the worst person to ask about stuff like this. But yeah, it does feel good. I'm glad I did the thing and I can't. I'm just excited to keep getting better. That's all. You know, and that's probably going to be the rest of my life is like, I make something that I think is okay out there. And then I listen to it again a couple weeks later. I think, why did I just do that to myself? Why is that public? And then I just keep trying and keep getting better. And hopefully one day I'll just be, you know, well, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied, but I think, you know, maybe one day I'll be as good as the people I look up to. And that's all I can hope for.
I think you will be. And to have this as a baseline, and I mean, this is such a, I mean, I'm not a music person, but I listen to this album and I'm like, this is so beautiful. This is such an amazing piece of art. So like, I can't even imagine where you're going to go next. So
thanks.
I don't know. Yeah, I enjoy it. I don't notice anything weird. I don't notice any sound. You know, nuances between headphones or car stereo. So I think you're doing great. And there's always room for improvement. Can't we all improve? So don't be so hard on yourself.
It's so weird too. Like I live in my head for sure. Like I spend a lot of time alone. I take a lot of walks. I'm just real. And I journal every morning. Like I'm really in it. I'm in the thick of this thing. Mm-hmm. And so to hear it out like this and to talk to you guys about, you know, what is actually happening in my brain feels, I might get emotional because I feel in my head so much stuff. Literally no one is thinking about this stuff. That's all. I'm trying to pay attention.
It's such a weird practice because I live in my head too. Like I'm such a, that's why like this podcast has been so therapeutic because I'm talking about things and like releasing things that like I wouldn't tell people and I'm like literally making them public. So it's such a weird practice to release that. I don't know, when you're like journaling, like so many things come up and then to share that with other people or put that out into the world in a different way is just like a really weird process.
But I want to believe that nothing is sacred though too, you know what I mean? Like I get it, like keep it inside and then and work through it. And then I don't know, I've just never been good at that, at like, you know, working through something and then presenting yourself a certain way with knowing like, okay, I could give in to my emotions at this. I'm always this all the time. And like, I don't know, side note, you know who else I think is like that? You know who I think is like themselves in the public eye, but also probably not any different in private? Jewel, the singer.
I don't know if I'm familiar.
Interesting. I'm familiar with Jewel, but not enough to like hold a conversation.
You don't know that song?
We're not music people,
Miranda. That's what I'm talking about. Dude, I watch so many YouTube videos. Jesus Christ. I don't know. All right. Anyway.
Well, I think that was that was a good, like, kind of final segment. I feel like just talking about, like, being in your head, your emotional self, and then when you speak it, it kind of becomes your rational self. Self hears your emotional self talking, and your rational self is like, what the hell are you, like, thinking, saying it out loud makes it reality, and you realize how kind of like your emotional self sometimes is irrational. Something I've like realized with like mental health recently, just like having those two sides and like speaking it out loud can make you kind of just, yeah, recognize sometimes your irrational thoughts, but it's not bad to have, you know what I mean? Like we all have them. We all have overthought. Like I'm a big overthinker. I feel like the three of us seem to be overthinkers and we can relate. So, but I like that. What's, I think that was underthinker? What?
I said, what's an underthinker? Is there anybody out there who just doesn't think about anything?
Well, what exactly.
What does their brain sound like? Their brain is like, I think I'm going to get up and go for a run. And then I'm going to cook a nutritious breakfast. And then I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do a good job. And then I'm going to come home and I might stretch a little bit, and then I'm going to read in bed, and I'm not going to fall asleep. And then I'm going to go to sleep at 10 o'clock without looking at my phone or my computer. And then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do it all again tomorrow. Go hang out with my boyfriend who I see a medium amount of time. And he doesn't take over my life, but I still see him more than once a week. We have decent vanilla sex.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I'm going off. Give me a platform, I swear to God.
But is that just like... Is that just being present, though? Like, but, isn't that being present? Okay, just, like, living in that moment and not overthinking?
I can't do it. Even if I'm, like, even if I do all the... I do fucking do this stuff. I get up. I run every morning. I journal every morning. But you know what I'm thinking while I'm doing that? I wonder who else is doing this right now. I wonder what it would be like if I ran to French pop music. I wonder what I would feel like for the rest of the day. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do a good job, but I'm going to be thinking about how I'm at work and I'm doing a good job. And does that make me a robot? Like, that's my brain.
I have the same issue. And it's like, I can wake up and do the same thing. Like, I wake up and I journal and I read, but I'm reading literally 6 books right now. Like, I'll read like 3 pages of each book and I'm like, next one.
Do you ever can I ask you a question? Do you ever read a book and then you are like reading the book but you're also thinking about what you look like while you're reading the book? And then you don't actually read it. You're like, oh my god, I'm in a hammock right now and I'm reading 100 Years of Solitude and like, who's looking? Is anybody looking? Yeah. I'm reading.
Yes, I do. Wait, have you seen the memes now? It's a TikTok trend that's going around, and it's like, what I think I look like when I'm driving the car, like, people staring at me, and then it's like, what I actually look like, and it's like the hunchback. It's like the same thing. It's like, I think I look so cute reading The Alchemist in my little reading nook in my corner. Like, I look so intelligent. Like, I'm like taking it all in, and I like look like a fucking idiot.
Because The Alchemist is the most Instagrammed, least read book. How many of you influencers have read The Alchemist? It's my favorite book, though. I want to know. It's because it's only 100 pages. Ever.
I love that book.
And it has a good cover.
And it's an easy read, but you always get something out of
cover.
It.
I have it does. One, just to put it's in my beautiful. Bathroom.
Because you're going to Instagram it. If I don't not Instagram read it,
then I don't exist.
My only version of the book right now is literally in Greek, so I can't even read it. I don't even know why Greek. I have it. There I am. I mean, because I'm going to post it on Instagram, because I can read Greek now, and I look Bailey, cool I want in my you hammock, to do an right?
Live, I need to read that out loud for an hour.
I would get 0 people listening. No. Oh, my God. Okay, so segment of this podcast, because I have to bring it up. I want to talk about bar is my fave food.
Why?
It brings me so much joy, Miranda.
Okay, what want to talk about?
What was the inspiration?
All right.
Actually, first question, what is it?
All right. Yeah, for our listeners.
For our listeners.
my name is Miranda Haney. You can follow me at Howdy Miss Miranda or at GG_roasting. That's me as a coffee company. And then also, I have another account called Bar is My Fave Food. Let's make this brief. I had an eating disorder and it sucked. And I was a calorie counter, pretty hardcore calorie counter. And when I had an eating disorder, the bar situation was probably the easiest way to get all the air quotes nutrients I needed at the least amount of calories possible. It seemed like a foolproof way to lose weight and also eat stuff that tasted like cookies. So I would buy a bar as a meal replacement once a day. So like my lunch or my dinner would be just a bar for pretty much like all of 2018. So, and then I got better, which is great. I'm still not perfect because an eating disorder is a lifelong thing that you have. I mean, it never goes away. I'm pretty sure everything I've read says you just figure out how to be smarter than it. But it never really goes away. And which sucks because, I mean, that's a whole different thing. But anyway, so I still love bars. And I have this obsession. I, like, know them because I was counting calories. And sometimes my brain would be like, you got to be low on carbs today. There's bars for the keto people. Okay, we got Quest bars. We got no cow bars for the keto vegans. We got, what else is a keto bar? The Think bars are keto. Not that good though, I'm sorry. And then we got the real food bars, right? We have the RX bars, which is great, but it's candy. We got the Lara bars, great, candy. We got the macro bars, who seem to have it all, but are definitely candy. So like, there's just so much out there and I'm obsessive over it. And I refuse to believe such thing as original thought. So I was like, if I love this so much, somebody else must love this also. And so I just started buying a lot of them. And then I started a spreadsheet where I calculated what they're called, what the packaging is like, how many calories are in them, what's the size, what's the weight, what's their parent company, what do they advertise, what kind of food do they have in them, just all kinds of data. I collected data. And then I realized a lot of time I take a lot of selfies too. That's another compulsion I have. So every time I go to the store, I have to buy an energy bar and I take at least one selfie a day. I don't know why. It's like when you look at your phone and you open Instagram, I look at my phone and I take a selfie. I can't explain it. I just do it. So I was thinking maybe I should just combine both of these things, because if I make it a thing, then it doesn't scare me as much. So if I just say, I have a problem, and the problem is I buy a lot of bars and I take a lot of selfies, why don't I just show the world? It won't seem so scary, because then they don't live in my head anymore. They're out in the world. And then also, I don't know, I thought it was funny. I hate this. I don't want to ever listen to this podcast again. My episode.
No, I'm loving it.
But it's going really well, so don't worry.
So if you're interested in that, it's at bar is my fave food. I post sometimes. Not often, but every time I get a bar, I usually will post about it.
Yeah, we talked about eating disorders a few episodes ago, briefly. And, like, I've been in a similar situation, too. And, yeah, it's definitely just figuring out, I think, what works for you, which is crazy that there's no, like, in quotes, solution.
It'd be nice to not think about it. Jesus. I think everyone who's ever had problems with food, like, don't we just want to just be able to eat whatever and not be calculating what's in it? I can't even, like, if a menu has a calorie count, I am fucked. I can't make a decision. I probably won't eat anything because I'm just thinking, holy shit, there's so many calories in that food. And like, even if I get this, then I'm not getting, it's just like, it's too much. It breaks my brain. But anyway, let's end on a happy note.
Yeah. Do you wanna close us off?
Sure. Miranda, how do you live your best life?
Good question. How do I live my best life? Exercise, drinking a lot of water, always working on something. Always be working on something, always be drinking water, always be exercising. Don't get crazy about the exercise, but move your body and take time to just flail. I don't know, flailing. A little bit of healthy flailing.
Yeah, just move. Movement.
Miranda, that was beautiful. I think we have so much to learn from you. And you are doing so many wonderful things. I love following you. I love being your friend. And I can't wait to see where you go from here. So thank you so much for
coming on.
Thank you for creating things and for making your voices heard and putting yourself out there, because even if you don't, it's just like, yeah, contribute, give. This is a huge give, giving your voices to people. You don't know what people need. And so just being there in case they need you is really a big giving back. So good job. Good work. Keep it up.
You too. We're all giving and we're all flailing, and that's the best we can do.
Bye.
Bye.